Flamenco guitarist extraordinaire William Banco Strickland, along with Greg Evie and Troy Pierce, the fabulous Flying Flamenco Brothers tonight. So tell me, Paco, is your doctor in the house tonight?
I have many.
You have many?
Dr. A in here? Dr. A, stand up, please.
Do you feel comfortable about talking about your illness
now? Yeah,
let's
talk about this. He can answer questions, too.
When did you find out that you had come down with this form of cancer?
November 19th, about 6:30 p.m. Yeah, I tend to remember those moments. But I'd gotten a call back from my regular doctor. I had been complaining. Of course, anyone who knows me knows that I complain a lot. This hurts. And I'd been complaining about this stuff for a long time. And I had a particularly lame surfing accident that should not have even happened, and it left me with a busted rib, and it just never healed. And he said, let's take a picture of that. We did, and it wasn't what I wanted to hear, but we started moving on it at that point. So
how's it affected your life so far, aside from healing and chemotherapy now?
Yeah, well, you have to become versed in a whole new set of words and chemicals and drugs and everything. You know, I'm only used to certain drugs.
Wouldn't know about that.
Yeah. So now it's heavy metal drugs. So.
Oh, gosh.
It's at the forefront of your mind, but I really have not... my forward momentum is really not been affected outside of, you know, I can't do my bone jarring workouts that I used to do. I can't.
No running across the bridges anymore, huh?
No, I can't swim 200 laps instead of, you know, 40 or.
Will this eventually affect your ability to play?
Not yet. I mean, I don't see where that will, because this is like playing. I mean, it's like talking.
Yeah.
It's fun. And bone marrow I still don't, you know, I kind of reject its thought. I reject you. And so therefore I'm trying not to pay a lot of attention to the actual disease of it. But it has not affected my playing. In fact, sometimes you can focus more on something in spite of an obstacle. And I've been able to do that, so... I've been saying, wow, where are these licks coming from? Maybe I just wasn't hearing them before. So that's not been affected. It's people talking to me about the drug. What's it like? Well, I don't know.
Well, we're hoping you'll be around to talk to us and play for us
for
some time to come yet.
That's why my doctor's here. It's his fault that I'll be here for another...
And make sure you're going to be
many years. So, complain to him when I'm still making noise.
I'm joined now by George Scheibner, WHQR's operations manager, and Jamila Erickson, WHQR's classical music host. And Jamila, you knew Paco best. Tell us a little bit about him.
Paco was a really bright spirit, a really passionate person. He was an extreme athlete, and pretty much everything he did, he threw himself into it extremely. So when he went from being a rocker to being a flamenco guitarist, he went deep in and really tried to capture that spirit of duende, that wonderful sense of passion and kind of just going out of your mind with the beauty of the music. And he just lived his life so fully, so wonderfully. He really is a great example to so many of us. And of course, his longtime love, Connie Nelson, was at his side when he passed. And I actually... married them on Saturday. So Connie laughed and said, oh my God, he's going to die a married man. And he did.
Oh, that's great. George, tell us about the last time Paco played at WHQR.
It was almost exactly 4 years ago. It was on the 22nd of January of 2009. We had him in for a Soup to Nuts live session because he'd been diagnosed with cancer, and I wanted to get him in while he was still able to play at his top level, and he put on a great show. In fact, we're going to air it this Friday and Saturday night at 9 o'clock on Friday and again on Saturday for as memorial.
Guys, talk a little bit about the first time you met Paco, because it's got to be one of those experiences you never forget, right?
Absolutely. I was a volunteer for the station in the mid-80s, moved away, but I came back in 93 and was hired as a receptionist at the old station on Greenfield Street in September of 93. And Paco's Flamenco Cafe program had just started the summer of 93. And I heard it and I thought, man, the music is gorgeous and this guy's content is great. He really knows a lot about flamenco. But oh, man, his Spanish pronunciation. So I talked to Michael Titterton, who was the general manager then, and Eileen LeBlanc, who was the producer for Flamenco Cafe. They introduced me to Paco, and there began a whirlwind time with him where he was really glad to get some coaching. I coached him on his Spanish, and then we ended up creating this crazy segment for Flamenco Cafe called the Gypsy Beatniks, where I would read poetry in Spanish and Paco would read the translation in English, and it sounded like he was translating on the fly, which, of course, he couldn't do, and probably neither could I, really.
What about you, George? You worked with him a lot.
Well, I met him first because Eileen, who produced the Flamenco Cafe show originally, took me over to Paddy's Hollow over in the Cotton Exchange. He was playing there one night, and so I met him there. In fact, he had his long blonde ponytail at that point. But I was really impressed with his playing. I mean, he was always a top-notch player, whatever style. I mean, he could play amazing blues. Mm-hmm. And the flamenco, I think, of all the acoustic guitar forms, is probably the toughest because it's as intricate as classical, and yet it's got a lot more rhythm. And he had it all.
He really
was good.
He was really brilliant at it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know him as well, but every time he was in the station, he was always just smiling. He made you feel good. A lot of people in town, of course, knew Paco and loved Paco, and I think everybody would kind of attest to that no matter how you were feeling that day, when you saw Paco, you would just feel a little bit better when you saw him.
And you know, he died as he lived. I saw him just a few hours before he passed on Monday, and he was fully Paco. He was kind of skinny, and he was having trouble marshaling his energy and focusing his thoughts sometimes, but he was absolutely completely himself. I remember him coming out of his sleep and seeing me and getting this grin on his face and going, "Hello, darling." He was Paco all the way.
Oh, he could be a goofy guy, and it was part of his personality. It was fun. He just, he worked on projecting that when he was doing his shows. His repartee was part of the show. It was often pretty silly, but always a lot of fun.
I mean, and you'll hear that too if you tune in for the Soup to Nuts live show. You'll hear him joking around, and he was really a great performer, musically and just as a presence on the stage.
A lot of people in this area took him to heart, and they went to see him repeated times. He played a lot at the old Deluxe, at the old Ice House, and a lot of other places around town. He was a regular, and the same people would come back week after week. It was always a great show.
And he had his Flying Flamenco Brothers that played with him lots of times. You know the names of the musicians, George.
It was Greg Evey and Vinnie Stout originally, and then Troy Pierce. Of course, Madafo, Lloyd Wilson, also played along with Paco for quite a few years. So he always had a great rhythm section. It was all about the rhythm.
Yeah, and Madafo was one of the people that visited him when he was in hospice and came and played for him and sang for him. And some of his other musician friends were allowed to visit him, and they would come and play guitar late at night and till he would fall asleep with the music. It was great.
Well, guys, thanks for coming in and talking about Paco a little bit.
Vaya con Dios, amigo. There's going to be a heck of a jam session up there with Paco.
That's right.
That's right.
Big party. Big trash cans full of sangria.